Okay, so welcome to the latest Pocket Gamer audio podcast. I'm your host and the editor of the site, Rob Hearn. With me today are Chris James.
Hello!
And also Fraser McInnes.
Hello there.
Hello. How are you, Fraser?
I'm very well. Yeah, I can't complain, really. What about yourself?
Good, I'm fine. But just about a minute ago, you were slagging off German... working blue-collar German people.
I was.
I'm a bit racist and classist.
Yeah, I'm very much the sort of proletariat kind of character in this dwelling here, surrounded by povs. So yeah, I was just besmirching their nature there. But, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah, you were, and I thought I ought to.
They're povs, yeah.
What are povs?
I don't understand. Probably can't even
people who are impoverished.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's a good name for them, isn't it? Oh, yeah. The Pobs, darling. Can you send out the gamekeeper? We appear to have some Pobs on the lawn.
Yeah, at least the
house. Like it.
Yeah. I gave £2 to a Pob the other day. It was horrible. I'd had too much to drink. Chris, how are you?
That's a pub. It's not the same. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay. I had quite good. I went to see Oasis yesterday.
Awesome.
In Wembley.
Like?
I was in Wembley Stadium. It was great. I've not been to like a stadium rock gig before, apart from my own, you know, brief touring days, of course. But seeing it from the other side, it was great. Really enjoyed it.
Very nice. Good.
Sounds good.
Very big
I'm
Wembley.
Going to a festival this weekend, and I've just learned that it's going to rain throughout. There you go. I've never been to a festival
rain.
And it hasn't without it raining.
Which festival are you going to?
Latitude.
Ooh, that
Who's
sounds awful.
Who's playing?
Tom York's
oh, wow.
Doing a set.
Awesome.
Touring breaks, a few people, but it's comedy as well, and theatre, and poetry, and
Did you
literature.
Say the shoe people are playing? Fantastic, I love them.
Yeah, they're good.
Shoe people.
It's going to be the Wellington people, though, I'm afraid, at this. Anyway, iPhone, is that something that we talk about sometimes? Okay, so, as ever, let's start with news. A couple of reasonably big bits of news this morning. One of them is, I mean, this kind of blurs the boundaries between news and rumour, but it's very possible that Plants vs. Zombies is going to be coming to the iPhone. Have either of you played that game?
I'm totally ignorant about this. What is Plants? I mean, I like the title, but what is Plants vs. Zombies? It sounds like a B-movie.
It kind of is. It's a PopCap game, sort of tower defense-y, basically. Plants versus zombies. I haven't played it myself, so I know very little about it, but well, PopCap's Garth Chouteau, I'm going to say his name's pronounced, stated that sometime in the next 2 or 3 months, I think you can expect us to announce at least one new platform on which Plants vs. Zombies will be arriving fairly imminently. And then he went on to say that it's very possibly going to be the iPhone, basically.
Okay.
It's not guaranteed, but it could well be coming.
That's a big game, isn't it?
It is a very big game, yeah. On
the
PC.
Have you done much besides Peggle on the iPhone?
On the iPhone? I don't know. Bejeweled?
Ah, of course, yeah. Okay. Alright.
Yeah.
But really, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so that could be coming. That's looking quite exciting. I think I haven't played it yet, but from the comments that we've had on the story since it went live, somebody... Edgar Ray Blass has said, "Wow, I love this game and would love to see it on the small screen." Smiley face. Steve86UK, "I really hope it does come to iPhone before anything else. The iPhone is a perfect platform for the game, etc., etc." And then finally, Liam W. Leo Laporte will be one happy man. I don't know what he means by that. I'm sure it's some kind of in-joke. But there you go. General positive response to that breaking news today.
It's a buoyant response. Cool.
Good. And also, we've got some news about EA. EA have set up a new studio called 8 Pound Gorilla, especially for making casual games for the iPhone. So that's going to be good. EA have done quite well on iPhone so far. They've brought out some reasonably good games.
Yeah, bless them. It's good to see these plucky little companies doing well, isn't it? I like, you know, the underdog. It's nice to see these... small businesses kind of fighting against the odds. But yeah, they have done very well.
And it's interesting that EA are going to probably, as a result of this, have a crop of lower price games, because they tend to be in the higher price bracket, don't they?
That's an interesting point, Fraser, because they are one of the people that has basically maintained a sensible, what we could think as a sensible price point for games. But they've that's a fair point. Now, if presumably they're doing casual games, they're going to be going into that 59p 99 cents.
And that's exactly how a lot of other people are reporting the story. They're saying that EA is entering the 99 cents business with this studio.
Right. Okay.
And it's they've already come out with a game. Interestingly enough, another one involving zombies. It's called Zombies and Me. You'll see a review on the site soon, but it appears to be zombies attacking a house. And according to Spanner, the our karate expert news ninja who reported the story, the house is an exact replica of the house from John Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Ooh,
so if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Well, that boy, isn't he?
What was that game? Was it Zombie? What's the Iugu? Sorry. Speech impediment there. Iugu
like
game.
Is it Zombie?
Zombie Attack. That was one. That was like had zombies attacking the house, isn't it? Was that?
There was Zombie Assault last week, which I played, which was good.
Yeah.
It was a tower defense. Tower defense and zombies. That's what the iPhone's all about just now.
There's a lot of tower defense games. That's the thing. I think, you know. We could do with some more touch and land and airplane games, I think. Hang on. There's a few of those as well.
Conspicuous lack of virtual horses, which I'm happy to see.
Worms is out. Yeah. Worms is out. I just noticed that. I was looking on the site earlier. Worms.
New story number three. Yeah.
Is that have I preempted the story?
No,
sorry.
You've delivered it. Worms. Yeah, it's out. I mean, it's been coming for a while. Spanner, again, the ninja, went to see it about a month ago now, a few weeks ago.
Is he a ninja?
He is a ninja, yeah.
Officially, he is a kung fu instructor, so don't mess with Spanner.
Yeah. He's even got a Chinese name for when... Because he obviously trains a lot with Chinese people. And because his name's quite difficult to pronounce, he's got his own Chinese name. It means something like Gentle Mountain.
Wow.
maybe we can get him on the podcast one week, and he can.
We absolutely have to get him on the podcast. No, we should. No, why isn't he on the podcast already?
Why have we not been referring to him as Gentle Mountain for a long time now? We should.
I'm going to go out to the system and change his name.
Okay, next week, the mystical words of Gentle Mountain. I can feel a jingle coming on already. I'm
definitely.
Sure you can.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, and to be fair, you're so far away from him that he's not even going to. You know, he's not going to come around to beat you up. So
yeah, we could call him whatever we like. We could call him Sissy Mountain or anything.
I wouldn't yell then. I didn't say that actually. I think that's unfair.
Spanner, if you're listening,
that's
really that no. I'm not being strong.
I know where he lives. I can give you his address. I can tell you what he's in.
No, that was merely a suggestion for something that we could do, not something that I would ever.
I thought you were going to say Brokeback Mountain for a while, that for a minute there, but fortunately you didn't. That would have been, yeah. That's
Gentle
good.
Mountain it is then.
So Worms is out, so we should be. I imagine we'll have a review of that coming out soon.
Imminently, I would have thought. So Worms is indeed out. Last week the news was it was just about to come, and this week the news is here it is. Right, so that's the news. Let's move on quickly.
Okay.
Let's redeploy. Disperse.
Thanks.
Let's disperse.
Go to.
Are we going to go to the special place? Are we going to dig in? Are we going
to
dig deep?
We're going to go to the special place. That's so good that it needs a jingle.
Where is it we're going?
Our time cards have been punched, our hard hats are on, and we're going into the rumour mine. Here we go.
Rumour. Rumour.
We're here. It's dark. It's kind of musty down here. Don't we need like a canary or something? We should have some sort of indication of when we need to get out. Maybe there's like
Chris,
a bell.
Down here, you can't take two steps without crunching the corpse of a dead canary. It's a very dangerous place.
It's crazy, but we do it for you, listener. Every week we descend into the murky depths of the rumour mine directly beneath the Pocket Game Hate Towers. I don't know if we should be, you know, mining beneath the building. That's
Yeah, it might we're be probably causing the foundations to be unsound.
Yeah, we should get someone to have a look in there. Can you put that as an action point for next week, just to see if there's going to be issues
there?
I'll put that next
to more jingles. I'll put that in there.
Yeah, we're cutting through some timber. But the rumour, the main rumour we've kind of unearthed this week, which is kind of a shiny gem, so shiny I can just about see my face in it, just see where we're going there.
Oh, my God.
Hey, thank you very much. I think Fraser unearthed this actually, but it was that we're going to get face recognition potentially, and object recognition coming to the iPhone, and obviously that opens up a whole new tranche of interesting games and applications there.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? That's what we've discovered, isn't it?
Definitely. I think potentially the object recognition thing in terms of games might be more interesting than the face recognition thing, because you've got all these games that have been quite popular. There was that game on the PS3 where you had these, it was like a card based game. It was like a sort of, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a board game with cards.
Yeah.
And then you could show the iToy your card, and then something happened on screen and what have you. You could have something like that for the iPhone, that would be quite cool. Although I suppose face recognition could be good too. If you're doing a handset thing and it can automatically detect whose go it is by having a wee look at you.
There was a mobile game. I think it was only in Korea, Japan or Korea, where they you took a picture of something and it turned it into a monster, which was kind of quite cool. But it opens up kind of real world gaming applications a little bit. And I'm sure there's a lot more outside of gaming it can be done. You can do your shopping and stuff, wouldn't you, with your iPhone.
Well, John Mundy wrote up a story on Friday, and in his story he imagined some things you could do with it, like barcode scanning. You could visit an art gallery and you could scan in a painting. And on the face recognition side, he said your iPhone will be able to recognise the user and award permission levels on the basis of that. I have to say, and I'm going to get a little bit boring now.
I don't believe it. Hang on a second.
I'm going to continue to be a bit boring now.
Fair enough.
If you're in an art gallery, it is possible for like an artificial intelligence kind of computer to look at something and tell what it is. But actually, face recognition is something that has eluded artificial intelligence researchers for a long time. And I think it is kind of right at the high end of artificial intelligence research that there are robots that can kind of roughly do it. But it's actually incredibly difficult for a robot to do. You can teach a robot to like walk around and obviously beat everyone in the world at chess simultaneously and things like that. But face recognition is very difficult because and the way the human brain recognizes faces is actually quite a complicated process. So I'm just a little bit skeptical at how good this technology is going to be, because the iPhone is still, however powerful it is, it's still a fairly kind of humble thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it may recognize that it is a face, but this thing that it's looking at, but I don't think it'll be able to say, oh, that's Paul and that's John and that's Fraser and that's Chris.
It could well be that this is just another one in a long line of patents that we hear about but never actually see in terms of it working on a device, you know? Because there's an awful lot of stuff that passes through the blogs, patents that companies pass. And it's often a case of passing that for themselves so that other people can't use that technology. And it doesn't necessarily always mean that technology ends up being useful for that company. So who knows? Maybe it'll never happen. That was a really upbeat, positive comment.
There's one other thing in this, because as you say, it all came out of patent applications. And one other thing, there was lots of other things at the same time about messaging and things, which would be great for email, but not really what we want to talk about. But there's a voice modulation thing, which, I don't know, it might be a game application. There's a way of simulating voices and multiple voices from the phone. That's another part of that kind of that slew of patent applications. So,
explain that further.
I'm reading.
All right.
this patent was dated back in April 2nd of 2008, but I'm reading from my source here. But there's just different ways of modulating voice audio to simulate additional voices. And apparently, it says that the example in the patent application was a mother who could have an audiobook read in her voice to her child. or a student who wishes to alter a section of a podcast lecture for emphasis. So you could change the, you could emphasize a podcast, you know, bits of podcast like ours. You could like make one of our, change our voices of the podcast to make it more interesting. You know,
yeah, I'd like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart. You could, you know, you could have had Christian Slater perhaps, you know, reading part of the podcast. I wonder how that would sound, Bob. I can't imagine what that would sound like.
I'm not going to attempt to.
I was really hoping that you were going to do
I'm disappointed.
Rob's no, that'd be too embarrassing.
He does. Your Christian Slater was exceptional, I believe. To
second only to your impersonation of Christian Bale.
My impersonation of Chris James actually last week was pretty good.
That's
all Chris's.
True. Yeah, that's true.
It's all about people called Chris.
Chris. Do you still do the kind of Bob Harris, the Keith Harris novel? Bob Harris, do you Keith Harris novel? You still do that? Or is that, you don't want to talk about that, do you? No.
Fine. I'm too young for that. I don't even know what it is.
You don't know who Keith Harris is? Come on.
Did
he fall off his house?
Orville, the duck. Oh, that was that one, Keith Harris. That was Rob, what's his name?
No,
Rod
that
Hull.
Was Keith Harris. No, you're right.
That's Rod Hull. That was Rod Hull.
No, with the duck and with the. and with. Cuddles the monkey. That was Keith Harris. I
that
saw
was
the
not,
Louis Theroux episode about
his,
it.
No, that was Rod Hull. Trust me, Rod
right.
Hull.
Rod Hull fell off his house.
I'm on the Wikipedia right now. I just have
remember
to settle
you?
This.
He was had like, okay,
Wikipedia
fair enough.
Wikipedia won't this, help you. Hull dead, and Orville
Keith
alive.
Harris is alive. I think. Yeah.
Harris. Right. In summation, I will not be impersonating any of the aforementioned.
But still, that'd be good though if you could change.
Yeah,
the voice,
yeah, yeah.
You know, if, like your friend, or you know, reading out this, your scores in the game or something, or I don't know.
Maybe Howard Harris, English ventriloquist, who is known for his television show and audio recordings and club appearances with his puppets,
yeah.
Arville the duck and Cuddles the monkey.
That was never in dispute. The dispute was whether or not he was dead.
Ah, well, that's a waste of time. Okay.
No, I would have Romeo and Juliet read out by a Scouse girl. That would be quite good.
That's a girl from Liverpool.
Have?
If you don't live in England.
Oh yeah,
a
girl from Liverpool.
Yeah. Like the Beast.
What else could you have?
Don't know. Maybe have like The Last Rites read out by a Cornish person or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, you can have a couple of Scots on a podcast. Oh dear.
Yeah, just
right.
Give me a platform and I just get carried away.
Exactly. We could get somebody, we could get celebrities to do the Rumour Mine jingle. You know, more different celebrities. You know,
I know
you
a
know,
celebrity. And he's a voiceover artist as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
What does he do? Hello, Rob.
He's
it
the
was
guy
a time
for,
like that.
You know the advert? Compare the meerkat.com.
Oh,
have you seen that?
Really?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
Really? The guy, I know the guy that did the animation for that. He went to the same high school as me.
Really?
Yeah, Christopher.
Well, it's a small world.
Yeah.
It's a small world. Anyway.
He does a lot of computer games as well. He's done Fable 2 and loads of others. Anyway. Yeah.
Does he want to do some unpaid voiceover work for a struggling podcast? I say
struggling.
I mean,
I think he likes money. I think he really likes money.
I don't know. You Hearns, obsessed. Fair
no,
enough.
He's not a blood uncle. He's this Susie's uncle, really. Anyway, should we get back to the iPhone again?
I think we're out of the room.
What's wrong with us this week?
This is good. No, we did. We talked, but I think that we need to have an application that has some Keith Harris. That'd be a good application, actually.
Keith Harris quotes. Yeah, that'd be good.
But that you could just turn your iPhone into like an unconvincing puppet, animal puppet. That'd be like a good, like that mouth off. Have like, you know, puppet off or something.
Yeah.
Just me. It could be like a sock puppet. No? All right. Fair enough. Okay. You only get one
I'm
bit.
I'm not investing. I'm out.
Yeah, you're out.
For that reason, Chris, I'm out.
That's a good idea. That's another good idea. Game pitches. We should do that next week. I like it. Well,
that is a good idea. Yeah.
Unconvincing game pitches. Cool. All right. I think that's it. So that's it. There's no other rumor that we have. We can clamber to the surface. I'm worried about that creaking now. Every time, you know, directly underneath the building, I am concerned.
Never mind the creaking. I've got the black lung. Something awful. Really.
Oh, come on.
Pneumoconiosis. That's what it's called.
Oh, hang on. What was that?
Pneumoniasis. It's a condition that miners suffer from.
Care to elaborate further on that, Rob? Do you have any...
Did you spell it?
I don't know. I don't have anything else to say. I'm not going to attempt to spell it either. But
okay.
Pneumo is that's the name of the illness that people get, that miners get. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, nothing. Okay, so... Yes. So what now? What we've been playing?
Well, I think we're on to the games. We're on to the actual games at the moment.
Yeah. Amazing.
Who's going to go first? I was chastised last week for talking too long because I've been playing too much. I just give too much. That's the problem. So I'm going to let someone else shoot this time.
Okay. Well, should I go? Or you go then?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'll start. But only because I said I was going to. Draw a Race is the game I've been playing this week. And it's very good. It's sort of did somebody talk about that last week?
I didn't want to interrupt you by saying I already played it and talked about it. But go on, don't let that put you off, Rob. You go on.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, well, I won't go into it too much.
I'll tell you about new game, Peggle. It's one called Flight Control. I've been playing. I'll mention this later. Sorry.
Yeah, Peggle's rubbish. Draw Race is the game I've been playing, and it's very good. I'm quite enjoying it. I haven't played it multiplayer yet, though, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing. I need to find someone to play that game with me.
Okay, but, I'll give.
Okay.
Is it networks? I can't remember. Is it network multiplayer?
I think it is. I think yes.
Yeah. Would you care to explain exactly how it works, basically, or the basics of
it?
Okay.
Shall I? Okay. So basically, the way it works is you have a track and you have a car and you're racing against another car, and but you're not actually racing. What you're doing is you draw your finger around the track, and a line kind of follows where your finger went, and if you move your finger fast, then that'll be reflected in the line, and then you take your finger off and the car just follows the line that your finger drew. And if you
that was a proposal for the next season of Formula One, doing that, but they changed it in the end. It's a shame.
So, yeah, bloody Eccleston. And that's essentially it. It's really, what makes it interesting, I think, is that it really makes you think about cornering speeds and stuff like that in a way that you don't when you're actually racing the car. Like, when you're racing in the car, you're consumed by the here and now of the race, and you're thinking, right, you've always got a lot of things happening. When you draw the line and then you watch the car, and it just enables you to step back and go, oh, interesting. So that's what happens when a car, what happens. That's why you should take the corner wide, and that's why you should accelerate out of a corner and not in, and things like that. So yeah, that's.
Does
why
anybody
I'm
else think
it.
Rob has a different experience with games and life in general to us?
Yeah.
I don't do that. I don't ever go, oh, that game's taught me something. That's brilliant. I go, oh, that was fun. Or it was rubbish. You know,
he's too busy pondering the higher philosophical meanings of existence.
He is. You're often thinking again, oh, that's giving me new insight into Proust's, philosophical leanings. Do you think that, Oh, Wittgenstein!
Because Proust wasn't a philosopher.
Oh! would you have him as an essayist?
Novelist.
He was a philosopher. It's philosophical.
He said contemptuously.
Oh, dear.
He wrote a big, long thing called In Search of Lost Time, and in which he obsessed about a kind of cake called a Madeleine. And that's what he's famous for. But he's mainly because he's a good novelist. And not a philosopher. Wittgenstein was a philosopher.
I'm gonna check that out. I thought there's a lot of essays and things he wrote that people I thought.
Oh, he probably did. Like most novelists are essayists.
That's
as well,
right. No, don't worry. Well, what's that? Yeah, this means war. this is. I think I'm in an ass-kicking contest with a porcupine here, but still, I'll be unbowed.
I read a book recently called Proust Was a Neuroscientist, and the reason I read it was because...
You disagreed with
it.
You said, no, that's not true.
But he, I did question the premise. But the reason I read it was because on the One Up podcast, I think it was Sean Elliott was talking about it, and he recommended it. Sean Elliott is a very brainy gamer. And he does all these kind of like symposia on game reviews and things like that. Him and Engai Kroll and all these people kind of club together and they say clever things about computer games. But that's where I heard of it. I heard about that book from a video game podcast, And now, this is another video game podcast, and I have the opportunity to pass on news about that book. Proust was a neuroscientist. Very interesting. And in it, you will learn that Proust was not a philosopher. So, anyway, yeah, and that's the game I've been playing.
Excellent.
Steering it back to iPhone.
Wow.
Well done.
I really don't quite know how to follow that up, to be honest with you. I've been playing games about balls and blocks and Formula One racing cars. I've been playing Brawn GP, which is Fish Labs. It's a thing between Fish Labs and the Brawn F Formula One racing team. And it's a full 3D Formula One race. I think it's the first Formula One racing game on the App Store. Although I'm sure plenty more will be following very shortly. And it's good, but it's insultingly thin on the ground in terms of content. It's just there's nothing there. There's one track, and you get to race it for one lap against the clock, and that's it. And there are apparently more tracks coming throughout the summer as Braun continues to plough its way through the season. But even that, really, I have to say, given even if they are free updates, which they will be, I hear, it's just not enough, to be honest. So, yeah.
How about with the 100 free tracks? Would that be better?
100 free tracks would be too much.
I would find
a reason to find that bad if they had 100 tracks. So.
Give the guys a chance.
No,
yeah, they've got
I shan't. I'm impossible to please, and I'm going to remain that way obstinately. But yeah, it's. I shouldn't be too harsh because it does look very nice, and it is the handling is quite a good balance between arcade and that there's no fiddly manual transmission or anything like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the cornering and the handling of the vehicle is quite—it's not simple by any means. You really do have to learn the course, and you have to try and get the finesse of the way in which the car handles. So it's good in that respect, but no, just not enough going on there. It's an advert game, basically. You know, it's.
But it's an advert game you have to pay for, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the problem. So
that's a major problem. Presumably, yeah. The one benefit of having adverts in your game is that the game itself is free.
It's an advert game, and the game's sole purpose really is to raise awareness of the Braun Formula One racing team. It's not great, but it's not terrible either. It's not completely damnable. But anyway, I've also been playing two games that I heard about via our forums. One called Tricks Digger, which is a sort of strange combination between Tetris and something else. I don't really know what. You play this little star at the bottom of a little window where there's cascading blocks, like in Tetris. And if you move sideways into those blocks, you make them disappear. But if they land on top of you, then it's game over. And it sounds quite boring, but it's good. It's quite interesting. And it's definitely reasonably. It's much more original than it looks. When you first look at it, it's just like, this is just a Tetris clone, but it's absolutely not. And the other game I've been playing is Expandaballs, which
sounds uncomfortable.
Sounds like it's ripe for some sort of carry-on joke, but I believe this started life as a very popular Flash web game. Necessarily by the same name. I don't want to go and...
I know this. It's the original game is called Gimme Friction Baby.
Is that it?
Oh, I love Gimme Friction. That's one of my favourite games. That's pretty cool.
It's the one where you're firing the balls into the screen and the idea is to try and ricochet them off each other without sending the ball that you've just fired back across the start line.
And they get bigger.
And it's brilliant. And it's really good.
Seems really simple, complex concept, but it's quite, annoyingly addictive. It's quite hard, isn't it?
That's the thing about it. I mean, as you say, it's very simple, but it is quite hard. So you're not going to get that sort of, I'm going to mention Flight Control as if it's a game that I've had any sort of reward with, but we all know that's not true. But the point that I'm trying to make is that it's not the sort of game where you're going to see that improvement gradually. The improvement comes in jumps. It's like you'll get a
16 to 17 to 18 or 19 planes. You don't get that sort of improvement.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. Well, let's forget the teens. Let's stick to below 10 at the moment, shall we? No. But in Expandaballs, it's the sort of game where you could get a high score of reasonably decent, and then double that a few weeks down the line, but without making any headway in between, sort of thing. So
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's a really, really good game though. I really enjoyed it, and as yeah, it's very very addictive. So highly recommended.
Cool.
And cheap, 59p. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
It's good. Cool. Well, I've only really got one game this week, which I've been playing during this podcast. Not to say, dear listener, that you've not, you know, been the centre of my attention, or I suppose it actually is to say that. But yeah, I've been playing a game whose name it was actually top of the charts in the UK charts in iTunes. It's deposed of Flight Control. It's still in there, but it's at number two. And it's a game called Glowball. And it's basically one of those games where you tilt the screen to navigate a ball around mazes and have to bash certain blocks and avoid pointy, spiky enemy things. But it's quite forgiving on one hand, and there's lots of shiny bonuses and extra objects you kind of pick up en route. If I was to describe what they'd done and why I think I'd quite like it, it's because they peggled it, I think. But not in the extent of reducing 59p, although it is actually at 59p, so they have done that as well. But
careful,
but
you're perilously close to ruining the legacy of the meme that we created here, Chris.
I have, but so what can I say? It's peggle-esque in its way. It rewards you all the time, and it's kind of quite. It's not just like about luck, but it is quite easy, which a lot of these kind of tilting the ball about. You can kind of make a lot of progress quite easily. With a lot of these tilting games are just fiendishly hard, and you kind of get frustrated quite quickly and then stop playing. Whereas I'm through to level 20 in the last, you know, since we've been playing this, and I haven't really died yet. So, or if I have died, they've just let me keep playing. So, but that's quite good. I don't know if I've formed a completely rounded view on it yet, but I've enjoyed playing it, and there's lots of sparkly flashing lights and stuff, which I know Rob likes in the game. That's one of the things you would look for, isn't it?
Okay.
No, that's me, isn't it?
Positive feedback.
Positive feedback, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so that's mainly what I've been playing this week and this morning. So there you go.
That sounds good. Right then, so we've done news, we've been in and out of the rumour mine, and we talked about what we've been playing, so all that remains is for Fraser to take us over the finishing line.
Yeah.
By, well, not telling us who won last week's competition.
No.
But saying something else.
No, you're all a bunch of losers, remember that. You're hopeless, okay? Just take a good, long, hard look in the mirror and realise that. Because
yeah.
None of you wrote
self-help
the right answer.
Self-help
and
an iPod game's going for here, so basically, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to retract that slightly by saying that I have had some feedback from my esteemed colleagues that this is quite a difficult one. So I'm going to play it again this week, and if none of you get it this week, I will... retract my previous insults completely and issue a new song, and we can go from there. But here it is, anyway, once more for your listening pleasure. All right. Do we need that again, do you think?
I think we've got it. I think we've got it there.
Right, okay.
They can just, like, reverse back on the podcast a bit and then sing it. If they had one of the new patented things from on the iPhone, they'd probably be able to do a track recognition feature. There's probably a thing that does that already.
That's true, yeah. Our competition's going to become impossible to lose very soon. Although then it is just, again, a test of speed, with people writing in as quickly as they can. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's quite an easy one. Usually I can't get the song, but this is, I think, one of the very few weeks.
You didn't get Sonic, which, you know, doesn't really... you know, come on, really.
Yeah. I think I got Sonic.
That's actually a sackable offence at many other publications.
You said, what was it last week?
I didn't get Street Fighter, but I got Sonic.
We didn't have Street Fighter.
We never had Street Fighter. No. That's
what
I was thinking.
Oh, God. We had something. 1942, was it?
We had 1942. You didn't get that. You didn't get Doom. And
that's what I was thinking of. But I did get Sonic. I knew that. I knew that one.
Okay.
And I know this one. This is actually one of my favourite games. Here's a clue, actually. If you Google Rob Hearn, as I do about 15 times a day, then...
Yeah.
Quite high up, you'll get a clue to what this game is through something I've written that's on the internet, not for Pocket Gamer, but for somebody else.
He's not allowed to write for We've stopped
back
that
in the day
now,
when it still was, when it's still possible for me to write for other people.
It's a filthy habit. I mean, yeah, good that you've kept.
All right. Anyway, that's good. Yeah. Let's help that. In case you can't get it, then Rob's offered you internet help. Cool.
Yeah. So that's us.
Okay. So literally, we can just. Well, I suppose. I have to say, anyone listening, please go to pocketgamer.co.uk and you can read our writings and you can get all the breaking news and reviews. Don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a rating of no less than 5 stars. And yes, and subscribe to the podcast. And apart from that, I think I'll see you next week. It's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from Fraser.
Goodbye.
Bye.